Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we give you voices to talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts, far and wide, have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability as our courts should be and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, blogtalkradio.com/hiddentruthrevealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is July, my co-host, Luann Fleming.
Yeah, hello, everybody.
And Marcy Friedman has the night off tonight, but I believe our co-host, Hillary Hoag, has also joined us.
You better believe it. I am here and looking forward to another great show. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We have a full radio show tonight, and so I'm asking if you call in or if you're one of the guests, please try to not talk over anyone. Let's each respect each other enough to try to allow each person to speak. If that happens, we will call out names to speak. All of our radio shows are recorded and archived and can be found at blogtalkradio.com/hiddentruthrevealed. We will be taking in calls from our listeners in about 45 minutes after our guests have had a chance to tell their stories. And to do that, you call the number 845-241-9962. Press a 1, that will let us know that you have a question or a comment. Do any of my co-hosts have anything they would like to talk about before we bring our guests on tonight?
How about you, Hillary? Do you have anything you want to talk about real quick?
I would like to mention one thing that's quite important. I've never been a part of one, and thanks to Ray Contreras, who's listening tonight, we have started a GoFundMe for Mrs. Rojas, whose son, Ramon Omar Rojas, has been in a for-profit guardianship for, I believe, it's been about 2 years, and unfortunately, counting. He got a settlement from a hospital, and that's why the guardian and her attorney do not want to let go of him. In the 4 years that I've been advocated for people who have been put through more than likely the worst situation in their life, I've never requested any money. I don't like doing it, but we've got no other alternative. So if you could just give a dollar, $2, $5, we would be grateful. And if you can't, you can't. We understand that. But we found an attorney who will fight these criminals in probate court, and she just needs a little bit of money to get started for filing, for gas money, for other things. But most importantly, it's time that Ramon Omar Rojas comes home. Hasn't he given enough of himself to these predators? Doesn't he deserve to be back home with his mother? I believe the answer is yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we know the guardian, Susan Whitney, at one point, and I know we've got a full show, but I must read this again just to show the severity of what we're dealing with Omar, who's total care. This is from a nurse. My name is Denise Wilson. I'm a manager with Maxim Healthcare, and I have provided nursing care for Omar for the last 2 years. The guardian, Susan B. Whitney, is very, very outside of her scope. I received a call from Susan requesting information. Susan alleged the mother was physically abusing Omar as well as financially exploiting his assets. Susan used profanities to describe Omar's mother and at one point said to me, I have no problem taking a noose and putting it around the mother's neck and tightening it. when it came to taking Omar out of the home. I won't read the rest, but I would stand in front of an oncoming train to prove what a loving family Omar had. No police involvement, no DCF involvement. It was the agenda was money. And when they saw that Omar got a big settlement, they went in for the kill. So it's time that he came home. And again, I thank you for listening, and we'll stand, and we will not give up, and we will not surrender, and we will not stop fighting.
So can you tell everybody, Hillary, how they can go to the GoFundMe? Is it on Facebook? Where can they find the GoFundMe account?
Thanks, Luann. It is on, it's on my page. It's on Ray Contreras' page. I'll send it to you, Luann and Robin, and maybe you can post it. And again, I've never done a GoFundMe, but I am so confident in what I know about Omar and his mother that we needed to do it. We need to bring him back home. So it is on Facebook. It is on Twitter. And again, we're asking for $1, $2. We have hooked up with a nonprofit in the Puerto Rican community, and they have Lydia Perez. She has a nonprofit. So I believe, and I'll confirm it before the end of the show, there's no extra fee. If you give $5, you don't have to pay like $3 more to donate that $5. So again, if you can, that's phenomenal. And if you can't, we understand. These predators will bleed all of us dry. But anyway, looking forward to tonight's show, and thank you for always giving me time at the beginning, Robin and Luann. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you for coming on and being a co-host. And like I said, everybody, Marcy Friedman has the night off. She's been working extra hard, and she wanted to give everybody her love, but she said she'll be with us next week.
And ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to say that if Hillary Hoge is talking about this, then I have known her for years. She is an honest, reliable, and tremendously compassionate advocate, working very hard, giving her own time, her own money, her own effort to people without expectation of return. If she says that this is something that that she would like for us to support, there are very good reasons for it, and I can stand behind that.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Exactly. And yeah. And let's see, I've got some other announcements, but we'll do that at the end of the show. I want to bring on our guest. We have a full radio show tonight. We have with us tonight some really awesome advocates, victims of probate. And I'm just going to tell you what the show is about tonight. Please bring your friends in and listen to what these families have to say. It is very important for everybody to understand that these crimes are going on in our courtrooms. They're happening to people every day, innocent families. I have absolutely been with the Elliot Bernstein family. They are wonderful people. I love his wife, his kids. Elliot's an awesome person. I can't even tell you enough the pain I felt for them for everything that they're going through in the court system. But we wanted to bring them on so they can tell you their story. And this is going on in the Palm Springs area, right, in Florida?
That's right.
And so with all these other families, they're going to be coming on and telling you what's happening. So it's not just one family, two families. It's many families, everybody. So we just want everybody to know that, please, if you can, any way, try not to go into any kind of courtroom, that's the best thing you can do. I mean, it's just not for the people anymore. We're just saying that. Anyway, we are going to be bringing on our guests tonight, but the first thing we want to talk about, we're talking about this is a Black Robe Crime Whistleblower Show. And a lot of these people are being retaliated on by the courts to shut them down, using the court as their weapon. Our guests tonight are Elliot Bernstein, Suzanne McCormick, Pat Henley. We do have Cinder Hottie on with us, and I'm sure other people will be calling into the radio show as we continue. We are talking with several victims in Palm Beach, Florida, who are heavily retaliated on by our own court system. And even Cinder Hottie is going to be talking about us, how he's being retaliated on for multiple complaints against the judge for his mother, Okay, you're not even allowed to protect your mother or anything anymore. It's basically against the law. Or your family members. You know, it's just so unreal to be bringing these stories out to everybody. Anyway, we want you to come on. There's a link that we put onto Facebook, sent to many families, that you can use to listen in. And if you want to call into the show, the phone number is 845-241-9962, and you press a 1. Anyway, we are going to be talking to Elliot Bernstein and his family who faced vicious retaliation, foreclosures, threats of criminal charges for standing up to court bullying. And he's not alone, everyone. Join these families tonight on our show. And I'm going to say, it is sad to say that this is not the country we grew up in. Don't you agree, Robin?
Absolutely not. This is not the America that I was raised to believe in. It is a bizarro world where we have gone through the looking glass, and the organized crime organizations have taken over the operation of many of our governmental systems, most especially our court system.
So we're going to be bringing Elliot Bernstein in first, and then I will probably bring in Kinder, and then I will, after that, I'll have Pat Henley and Suzanne McCormick come on. So if you guys can just bear with me, we want to do one mic at a time so we don't overlap everybody speaking on top of each other. So, Elliot Bernstein, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Hi, good, good. Welcome to our show. And who is... Pardon?
Go ahead.
Hi.
Okay.
Yes. So,
I didn't know if there was someone else that was with you or what.
I think you heard Hillary greeting.
Oh, was that Hillary?
Yeah.
Okay, Hillary, go ahead. So,
yeah.
Elliot, we personally visited with you. We sat in through a lot of the issues that you're going through, and I cannot, Rob and I, none of us could just believe the problems that you're having with the court system down there. We've actually sat in on some of your Zoom calls through the courts, and we just left them just saying, oh, my gosh, this is not happening. So can you go ahead and kind of give us an idea what is going on down in the Palm Springs area in case anybody's listening to this and they need help? And actually what you're finding out that's going on in the courtrooms down there?
It's the Palm Beach, not Palm Springs, Florida.
Palm Beach, okay.
Florida, which is the
Palm Beach,
hub.
Florida. Good,
maybe
thanks.
Even
Palm Beach.
This may be the epicenter of where this grab little old ladies, murder them for their money started 30, 40 years ago. And Pat Hanley can talk to some of that because he's been dealing with the Palm Beach County courts for 40 years. And we've got some good guests, Kinder Hody. I want to first thank your show for, A, allowing me back on because I am pretty controversial and do say some pretty radical things, and I'm going to say them again tonight. And I do appreciate your coming to my house and helping my family and introducing us to some wonderful people who are helping us and working on helping us. And, you know, hopefully we'll survive the retaliation that's happening against us. And Hillary, I want to say something. You asked for a GoFundMe page for that person, and I want to tell you part of my discussion tonight will be a much larger GoFundMe type operation. You know, look, we got Britney Spears. We've got one of the three inheritors of Disney. We've got deep pockets that need to be reached to help these people, because what we're going to be talking about is the court retaliating upon people who are blowing the whistle on their $1 trillion scheme to rip off little old ladies by killing them and isolating them from their families and drugging them to death as if they're in Nazi Germany. And what's happening, it's so obvious, even in my case and other cases, is that when you go to blow the whistle on them, they come back at you and, A, try to frame you, set you up, you fill the record with all this bull crap about you. You know, it's beyond unbelievable. They put liens on your houses, your businesses. Skinder Hody, Pat Hanley will attest to that. Karen Turk, who served time in jail. Barbara Stone, who served time in jail, all for trying to save their family members and raising their voices while these human rights crimes are just being let go by the court. And it's almost unbelievable. And you know, to be quite honest, folks, you all know me because I say go to the police, file criminal charges. These civil courts are useless. You're begging these judges who are ripping you off and part of the crime to help you. They're not going to do that. You need to all be in criminal things and put some pressure on these guys, because I just heard Merrick Garland today come out and say nobody's above the law. Well, then why didn't the people who tortured people in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib get tried? Where the hell is justice in our country? It's dead, and thank God the Justice Department's being scrutinized right now, because what the hell did they do? I feel like a Jeffrey Epstein rape victim, just to be quite honest. I feel like one of those 13-year-old girls who went to the police, who then accused them of being hookers, of being prostitutes. He got charged for a count of prostitution.
You know what's so ironic is Ghislaine Maxwell, she got, I think, 20, 30 years. More than likely, the rest of her life, she will be in a federal prison. And she was found guilty in Manhattan, in New York, and of all places that they sent her to serve her time.
Tallahassee,
corruption capital, just unbelievable. But continue, my friend.
No, absolutely, and they put her in a minimum security. She could be hung by and quartered, because what she was part of was compromising politicians at the highest level, where they were setting these guys up on GHB, congressmen, presidents, princes, everything. And somehow they've turned it into Jeffrey Epstein was getting foot massages, when that isn't at all. Our whole government's been compromised. They've all been on Epstein's island. There's videotapes of them all having illicit sex with minors. These are predators we're dealing with. These people you're dealing with in the courts are not judges that are acting within the color of law, Robin. They're acting outside the color of law. They are criminals stealing, pocketing offshore accounts in Panama and all kinds of things while they are killing your family members. And everybody, and I can't understand it for the life of me. In fact, I'm working with some people here in Florida, some of you might know, some doctors who are being tortured. They went to Florida law enforcement and, you know, they got a response that the complaint is docketed and whatnot. Listen, in the civil courts, begging judges who are killing your family members to do the right thing and arrest themselves is never going to happen. We need to get coordinated, get on the same page, and everybody come together to get some criminal charges filed, some criminal attorneys who are willing to put their asses on the line, because part of what I wanted to talk tonight about Black Rogue Crimes is even if you get an attorney to help you, the next thing you know, and I can give you Arthur Moorberger as an example, I can give you Leslie Federicos as an example, I can give you Deborah Roeklin as an example. Anybody who tries to go against the court and expose it is instantly hit with a flurry of bar complaints, and the bar is going after them for trying to tell the truth. In my case, in a federal bankruptcy court, Attorney Inger Garcia put on the record, and unbelievably, that a dead person was moving the court at the hearing that day. Somebody who they told had just recently died, but had recently died 2 years ago. And when she put it on the record, the judge seemed to sleep almost on crack cocaine or dementia, because she just completely ignored while a Florida licensed attorney came forward and told him of fraud in his court and fraud in the lower court, where a dead man got a judgment. If you can believe that, he filed for summary judgment, dead, and he got a final judgment, dead, and the final judgment was in the name of a dead man. And then an attorney 2 years after he was dead, Brad Schreiberg, comes into a bankruptcy proceeding representing, filing a notice of appearance for a dead man.
And
judge, isn't that insane? I mean,
right. We were all on the call. Luann was there.
Right.
We all witnessed it with our own eyes, which is the beauty of my technologies, is exposing these people. And believe me, they don't like it when the light's on in their dirty, dark, dungeonous, criminal fucking courtroom, where they are just abusing people. And people like Luann sat there and watched what was going on at disbelief. I'm in disbelief. It wasn't Elliot Bernstein reporting a fraud to the court. It was a licensed Florida lawyer who had the bravado to put it on the record. And there was another lawyer, Leslie Federicos, who suddenly, you know, deep six, ten, I don't know where she's gone, but she ran away saying, I'm leaving the profession of law while she's representing my family. I'm leaving the profession of law because people are threatening my license and I don't need this shit. I'm going into some other business. She's completely disappeared off the planet Earth. Her husband hasn't returned calls. She hasn't. These are serious issues. Arthur Moorberger, representing my kids, suddenly was hit by a bar complaint and disbarred. A guy from Harvard, cum laude Harvard, no less, and Princeton. Mathematics, but well-established 50-year lawyer or so here in Florida, helping people like Barbara Stone, people like Skinder Hody, me, my three children. The minute he starts representing us, he's disbarred. Leslie starts representing us. She's hit with a volume of bar complaints after she frees Doug Keegan, who hopefully is here listening to this call, not still stuck in the jail on the most crazy shit I've ever heard. Talk about retaliation. They put this man in a position after releasing him from the illegal guardianship that was stealing all his money. They put him on the street,
right.
Didn't give him access to his money, and then he finally was driven to threaten judges and lawyers with, hey, I'm going to blow your fucking head off. I don't know what he said, but he said something
right.
to that effect, that he got arrested because they let him out of a guardianship and didn't give him access to his funds and whatnot. And this is just so insane.
God.
Karen Turk.
Elliot, to say the truth, it goes on and on what goes on with these families, and it doesn't stop. But the one thing I want to ask you tonight is you've been in a court battle for, what is it, over 10 years now? How long have you been in this?
Well, it started with my patents about 24 years ago. And then my parents' estate cases started in 2012.
Right. So you've been at the even though the probate, even for 10 years yourself, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. I mean, it's just they're coming after you with the foreclosure from your kids.
Let me say something. No, let me break there for a second. We've had major advancements. Major.
Mm-hmm.
When me and Sam and Rick and a group of people started working together and Pat Hanley in the 2008 area or so, nobody believed it. There were few people. There was no press. There was nothing happening. All the judges were enjoying their illegal games by killing little old ladies for profit.
Right.
It was good. Since I came on the scene, I'll give you an example. Three judges, John Phillips, Martin Colin, and David
mm-hmm.
French, took early retirement. The guy in my foreclosure case trying to steal my house right now, Judge Kosternakis, is not running for re-election. So I take that as personal victory that those people are no longer on the bench grabbing little old ladies and murdering them for their money and destroying their families and retaliating on their family members who are trying to save their loved ones. You can't make this shit up. I mean, it's just incredible. But we've saved lives, like Doug Keegan, who called me one day and said, I'm stuck in somewhere. I don't know where the hell I am, but can you help me? And Sam Sugar and Rick and everybody were there to get him finally out. And Leslie, Puerto Rico's put her life on the line and went against the judge and said, you know, this is ridiculous. She brought in camera crews. And boom, the judge let her out, let him out. And then Leslie gets hammered with bar complaints because all I can say is it appears that they went on a witch hunt against her to discredit her.
There's no debating that they definitely did. And let me just say one thing about the attorney in this case who has been terrorizing Leslie Federico's on
Fletcher.
Right, and now he is on...
Name
he
him, Kyle
is,
Fletcher.
Fletcher. He is on... Hang on a second. He is on the Garwood case, and just an aside, as the corrupt attorneys say, just so everyone knows that finally, after 2 years of pushing and filing complaints, the Office of Public and Professional Guardians in Florida have revoked Denise Willis's license. But I asked, and of course no answer was given, have you made a referral to law enforcement? Well, you'll have to make an open record request. But listen to this, Elliot. I don't know if you know about Fletcher. Doug Keegan had Mark O'Mara, and Mark O'Mara said he knew Fletcher, and the only reason he knows Fletcher is that he was told that Fletcher was at a mediation, and he deposed a woman who brought her husband with her, and Fletcher terrorized him so much at the mediation that he took out his pocket knife and he stabbed this attorney, Fletcher. So
Contreras is supposed to be on his call, and at a mediation,
mm-hmm.
somebody pulled out an assault rifle.
Right.
And,
and
basically intimidated people at a mediation. This
but
is
the
out
bar
of control.
Somewhere.
This
yeah.
is
okay,
so, Hillary.
Say
okay.
that again.
And here's my plea. Let me make my plea. We, the whistleblowers, have no money. They've bankrupted me. They're about to take my house and have me on the street. So this will probably be my last radio show for a while I starving. Find a place to fucking live. Excuse my French again. And the bottom line is what we need to do, and Sam and Rick and all the agencies and FACTS, and now we need to start a GoFundMe to help all these people who call me every day who are broke, have been destroyed, their lives are destroyed, and we need some of the richer folks who got money to start kicking in some serious dollars to fight this. Because, you know, I was talking to an investor who's been through the court shit that we've all been through. His father ended up dead in a guardianship. And he said this week when I asked him to help, he said, and that made me think, and when Hillary said GoFundMe, you know, it's time we make some coordinated calls to Britney Spears' attorneys or her directly and say, hey, we need $10 million to hire good counsel to get us through next week on some of these cases.
Right, and that's one thing, and not to put a blemish on anything that other victims have really never been mentioned, but hopefully Brittany, along with whoever else has gotten out of guardianship and has funds, that they are in a good place and that they can join the crusade, so to speak.
And put in a fund to get these people counsel. Because if they have counsel that's truly good attorneys, and you know what, I can only say, you know, I've got Lalit Jain who's trying to change the whole system. And until he does, I'm recommending everybody to go criminal. There's Leslie. There's Arthur Moorberger. There's Inger Garcia. And, you know, they are the only ones I have known to go directly and put the fraud on the court and risk their lives to come in and help me. And believe me, putting that kind of shit in the record for me puts your life in danger if you all know who and what I am. They did things that I owe them my lives for. And right now, we need support at the DOJ level, at the state level. And, you know, if we don't get it, we're all dead and this whole system sucks and this whole country we've lost to something I can only compare to communism or Nazism or fascism. And we have become that if this is what's going on, where your human rights, my children were put into a guardianship for minors when they were adults. No competency hearing held, no nothing. That guardian then moved to make settlements, show up at hearings, destroy their companies, expose our house to foreclosure, destroy everything my dad had left to my kids. And she did it with no legal guardianship over two of my children. It's mind-blowing that the courts are allowing this, that the judges are directly involved. And, you know, here's another thing that we need to talk about. The doctors I was talking about who are fighting here in Florida, who some of you may know, you know, we went to the police and they failed to docket the complaint. They refused, no, not failed, you were there, Luann and Robin.
Uh-huh.
They refused the citizen the ability to file a complaint that said that their father was in a guardianship when there was no competency hearing, which is against the law. And Inger Garcia had gotten on the hearing and said to the judge, you don't have jurisdiction. This guardianship temporary was over a year ago, and you're basically kidnapping this man. Well, the police wouldn't even docket it. That is such a violation of civil rights. It's mind-blowing. And any lawyers listening should call these doctors immediately, because you're looking into massive civil rights violation in that they can't get access to criminal authorities because they're accusing judges and lawyers and they're above the law, which I thought I heard Merrick Garland again today say, nobody's above the law. So you know what?
Right.
Why? Because it's a judge or attorney. Aren't you taking this criminal complaint, trying them, and if they're guilty of murdering Skinder Hody's mother or whoever, hang them outside the courthouse. So they set an example to the next judge coming in saying, what did he do wrong? Oh, he grabbed a little old lady and murdered him, and that's what he got? Oh, well, I'm not doing that. And that's
right.
How this stops, with some judges and lawyers getting their day in court for these murders, thefts, and whatnot, because they are not above the law. They are public servants. We are,
right.
You know, and that's what makes me sick with everybody involved in this at first, is you're all kissing their asses and begging them to help you and praying they're going to do something. These are the guys robbing you. You need to put them in prison, not beg them for anything. You know, I went toe-to-toe with this judge in a federal court who, after an attorney told him of fraud and he looked like he was asleep or on crack, like I said, I don't know what he's on. But whatever, once they're outside the color of law, they're dead because they can be sued and they can be criminally complained of. So it's when they act outside the color of law that I say hang them high and hang them three times so that it sets an example of treble damages, not just financially, but in debt. And,
right.
and that will keep our country's legal system honest, because if these lawyers and judges worry they're going to be hung for their crimes, they will not do them. It will change overnight. And so we all need to, A, raise funds to get attorneys who can take these cases on and protect them, because they're being hammered, and I mean hammered, when they try to go against the system. And we need to find maybe three or four good attorneys. I know Belinda Parker Brown is doing a lot trying to do this for people, and I support her efforts.
Right.
But we really clearly need to be able to help these people as they're being thrown. Pat and Suzanne were thrown out of a house that Suzanne's husband gave her years ago in the middle of the night with no proper eviction papers,
right,
freezing to death in their house trucks. These are elderly people who, in God's name, there is no God's name that would allow it. None. This
exactly.
is serious, folks. So if you got money, or if you got friends who got money, it's time to get a central reserve going, and, you know, whether it's through Rick or Sam or all of us together or through Face Us, it needs to be there to help, because I get all these calls from people and they don't have a dollar. They've been bled to death by attorneys. They've been ripped off of their estates and their homes and their blah. And, you know, right now I'm just thinking I'm going to let Pat talk, if he wants to at this point,
right,
and just tell you what it's like to be retaliated, because they've been fighting the system, I don't know how long, but it's been as long almost as I'm alive. Okay?
Right.
Before we bring in Pat, I just want to, for our listeners who think to themselves, gosh, that sounds kind of extreme, we're talking about hanging judges, I just want to say, I want you to understand that what we're talking about is not that these individuals that you may have been raised to think of as judges with E, who have earned the position,
right,
where they are now making decisions on behalf of others. That's an illusion that is a persistent illusion that has been created and behind which a set of criminals hide. And I want you to understand that we're talking about criminals, because what we're talking about are people who are with impunity. No one's punishing them. Impunity.
Uh-huh.
They are able to get together with a gang, just like a group, a mobster group, and say, what we'll do is we'll kidnap this person in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. We'll take armed people in. Take them out of their home, tie them up, or put them in handcuffs, because it's police that are the armed men, and and we'll lock them away, and we'll rob them of everything, and we'll isolate them from their families, and we'll torture those families with lies, cheating, stealing. We'll tell them, if you don't like it, hire some of our friends. And our friends will come in and say, oh, yeah, I'll do you right. I've got your back. And what they mean is, I've got your back pocket. We'll pick your pocket, too, oh, family member. It's just trying to protect your loved one from these criminals. We'll pick your pocket, too. We'll bankrupt you. We'll bankrupt your whole estate. And when everything is gone, we'll kick you out of your home. We'll kick them out of their home. We'll take everything you got. These are criminals, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
And they deserve to be hanged for their crimes.
Well,
and that's what
and
we're
Robin,
really talking
we're,
about.
And you're not,
Robin,
and we're not talking about the good judges out there
wait,
that
Robin,
are helping everybody. We're not
Robin
talking
guys,
against, hold on, Elliot. We're not talking about the good attorneys out there like Leslie Federico, how she was helping families, you know, Ingrid Garcia. There's so
Arthur,
many good attorneys out there. They're all being retaliated on, just like all the victims probate. The same thing is going on with them. So we want to talk to them and say, we understand what's going on with everything. But, Elliot, let's bring on Pat Hanley right now.
Well, wait
and,
one second. On that point of Robbins, I want to say, remember the Nuremberg judges trial. That's what we need now here in the United States, a trial against judges who are using the court system as a criminal enterprise and using abusive process to retaliate upon good citizens trying just to expose the whatever you want to call it, just expose and say, here's my story. Anybody who does that is instantly retaliated where the court's the weapon against you. My kids right now are in a bankruptcy where Inger Garcia put fraud on the court by the other party using a dead man to have hearings. And the next thing you know, they're charging my kids with sanctions and threatening, the judge threatened my three young adult children with to go get lawyer up with criminal lawyers. What kind of pedophile freak is Judge Eric Kimball? I can't. We a lawyer told him about corruption in his court, and he went after three kids. He's a pedophile, and I'm happy that he sued me if he thinks I'm misrepresenting anything. But he's a pedophile. He's a child rapist. I don't know how to describe what he's doing, but because a lawyer exposed fraud, he attacked my children. And I can tell you this, I am going to see him tried and hung, like the other lawyers
right.
and judges. And so far, Luann, not only did the mm-hmm. judges take early retirement in my cases as I exposed their frauds about murdering little old ladies, but now Brian O'Connell, a Florida attorney who's one of the ringleaders of this grab little old ladies and murder them ring, has a Florida bar complaint where he's a Florida Supreme Court case where he is alleged to have been using somebody's trust account to, it's his piggy bank, where he was giving donations to all his buddies at Catholic charities and universities and taking tax deductions with that money that was sold. And then all of a sudden he tries to put it back and say, oh, everything's okay because I put the money back. You know, it's insane. And then there's Tesher and Spolina in my case who were charged, who firm was caught submitting six forged and fraudulent documents, and the judge in the case let them continue until Robert Spolina was hauled into the sheriff's office and for some unknown reason that I still can't figure out, decided to confess that he frauded my mother's trust to include people who were cut out as predeceased with their children and put them back in, which were their clients. And then finally they had to be removed. Then they got caught for insider trading and were disbarred, not over my stuff, but over the insider trading. And you just can't believe this is America. This is Nazi Germany to those of you listening. And therefore, reach out to your friends and tell them to contribute and help little old ladies who are being beaten to death in guardianships and starved and deprived of their families. And look, guys, we've all done a hell of a job. Hillary, Sam, Rick, all these people have come together and we've started to expose it, get national recognition, and people are being freed like Doug Keegan. We're starting to see successes. We're starting to see some arrests, mainly of guardians who are just pawns in this. It's the judges and attorneys who should be arrested, but they're shifting the blame to the guardians who are just useful idiots and criminals, mostly pedophile, freaky, rapist kind of people who beat up little old ladies. You know, those are the kind of people that are getting elevated into guardianship. And if you saw what I showed you guys all today, Catholic Charities is poaching all these houses while they're controlling who's the guardian. You have to, in Florida, be approved by Catholic Charities, who's been buying up all these houses, as Sam Sugar sent out in his email today, hundreds of them. And yet, you know, because it's the Catholic Church and they bought off most of the sheriffs and police and blah to protect their rapist priests, are doing the same things here to protect their rapist judges and lawyers who are doing these crimes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to start to focus. And with two or three good attorneys that are well-funded, these are RICO crimes. Somebody said it's a criminal organization. If this is doesn't define it, I don't know what does. They just are cloaked in black robes.
Right.
They're
absolutely
not.
We're going to get some more voices into the radio show.
We're going to go ahead, Elliot, and bring in Pat Hanley right now. Let's welcome Pat Hanley into the radio show. Pat, are you with us right now?
Yes, Lillian, I am, and I have Suzanne McCormick here also with me. And I just like to start off by saying that in 1850, Charles Darwin wrote a book called The Bleak House, which some of us probably suffered through in high school. As a result of that, it was about an estate and a trust, which was bled by the solicitors, the British attorneys and so on, and left the family basically penniless. And as a result of that, the English law, it was based upon an actual occurrence. And as a result of that, the English law was changed in 1860. And that's what we need here in this country. We need a change of the probate and surrogate court laws throughout the country to prevent this. And they're running a racket. Look, you have judges. The judges, they're ambulance-chasing slip-and-fall lawyers with their dirty black bathrobes that have sucked up to get their judgeship so they can feather their own nests, and they do feather their own nests between the attorneys, the T&E bar, and in addition to that, the trust and estate banks. In other words, the banks and trust companies that provide professional fiduciary services. So Ben has been at this for over 34 years. Her husband died 34 years ago. She picketed in 2005 in Palm Beach on Royal Palm Way in front of Deutsche Bank, and wound up with a featured article in the Palm Beach Post, which was published the weekend of Donald Trump's wedding. And Deutsche Bank, when they were called for a comment, they said, they told the editor of the Palm Beach Post, you better not publish that article. And the editor said, we're in the newspaper business. Don't tell us what to do. You're in the banking business. I won't tell you what to do. And it was published. But very few papers or TV stations or radio stations will have that integrity because they don't want their advertising affected. They don't want lawsuits. They don't want to get threatening letters from lawyers or judges or whoever. So
correct.
Here's Susan.
Yeah. Well,
everything we've been talking about actually occurs with most of us, I think. What always disturbs me, I keep bringing it up to Patrick, you know, my husband was lured to White and Case. I'm going to name the people. It's White and Case Law Firm. Wynn Rutherford was a lawyer who drafted the will. And Bankers Trust, who was bought by the big bank, Deutsche Bank. And they actually came to our home. They invited us over. They took us to parties. They invited us to luncheon. They discussed the will. My husband discussed it with me. His secretary came over and told me what I was entitled to. And still, when my husband died, I was an executor also, but they turned around and did what they wanted to do. So I don't understand. In that case, then we have to go out and get lawyers and fight and spend all the money. In my case, 34 years, I went through $1 million for lawyers. And so obviously any assets I got, like an art collection, was put into legal fees. And that's how they drain you and bleed you. It was a plan they had, as we've just been discussing. They have a plan. They're professional gangsters. That's what they are. They're not out there to help you. And of course, we've said this a million times and keep going over it. And I think, Luann, the only thing we can really do is publicity. And of course, it's sometimes right. You need a lawyer, like Elliot said, you need a lawyer. What mm-hmm. can you do? So you try to look for an honest one. And
exactly.
It's been a real battle. That's all I can say.
Sarah,
I mean, I was
entitled. Can you hold on a minute? I just want to introduce you first. You are Suzanne McCormick, and you've had your problems with the probate court in Palm Beach as well. But I want our listeners to understand how you came into the radio show. So I just want to keep everybody informed. Right.
Yeah.
And you've had a hard time. I know that you had some articles in the Palm Beach newspaper, I think it was, as well.
Right. What Patrick just said, it was on the weekend of Donald Trump's wedding, but it was a huge article, and it took Patrick probably 2 months with the editor to go through all the documents and different things. And they retaliate after. You think they're going to settle? No. They turned around and flooded my villa when I was gone in outside of Palm Beach there, right near there, and let the water run for a whole week trying to say it was a broken hose. And the manager is just 100 feet down the road in his office. And even the owner of the land said, are you going to sue us for negligence? And, of course, I said, I don't know. I'm just stunned by the whole thing, what happened. So it was a total loss, my piano, the whole thing. So I had to go through all of that. And then they wouldn't rent it for me. They rented other places, but they wouldn't rent mine. So we found out that the lawyer for this complex actually had been a lawyer at White & Case Law Firm who drafted my will. So it's all connected. These people are all out to drain you, and they have their friends. They're just connected all over, wherever you are.
And the interesting thing is Deutsche Bank, Bankers Trust Company, became a convicted federal felon in the Southern District of New York, 3 separate felonies. And what was it for? They had withheld unclaimed funds from various states, New York, California, Illinois, and so on. And as a result of that, a felon cannot be a fiduciary. So they were bought by Deutsche Bank, and Deutsche Bank also is a federal felon. And the proof of it is when they want to go through ERISA, the pension fund, the Department of Labor, they have to get exemptions. That's a polite way of saying we shut one eye and we let you do something that a felon shouldn't, you know, be allowed to do. But this is what
right.
goes on. They have a racket going. It's one big racket. And the average person has no idea. And the lawyers, the T&E lawyers, are feeding this monster because they are guaranteed estates. In other words, if someone dies, the bank is the fiduciary. They're on there as an executor, and they're going to make sure, as part of the business model, that that attorney who brings in the business to them is rewarded by becoming the estate attorney and the attorney for the trust. And that's the way it works. It's a sad thing. I know in Suzanne's case, we were so effective. We were so effective that they got the Adult Protective Services in Westchester County, New York, come and ring the doorbell and say, we're here to help you. They were setting her up for a guardianship. We stopped it, but we know of other people that were involved with Bankers Trust Company and Deutsche Bank that they were successful in getting either total guardianship or partial guardianships. And the reason they wanted it was to control the litigation. They didn't want the people being successful against them.
Okay. So, publicity, Luann?
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Well, one thing, I was going to give an example of a judge where in one case my attorney said, you know, you're supposed to get $100,000 back because you overpaid on legal fees. And the judge ordered, he had a free line, and he ordered that, I had to come in and bring $125,000 to him. So I said, well, why do I have to do that? They said, well, go ahead, do it, and you'll get this whole thing behind you. They thought I should do it. So reluctantly, I brought it. So the judge had my lawyers in the back room, and he said, you think we can get $50,000 more out of her? And they said, listen, we're going to report you. Is the bank behind this? And he shook his head, yes. So then he turned around, and he said, you know what? I'm going to charge her $260,000 for legal fees and $150,000 for interest. So it was $410,000. I had to hurry and get someone to loan me the money because I was paying out so much money. Otherwise, he said they were going to take all my possessions, my homes, everything. So this is an example of a judge. He died now. He's buried. We hope he lives happily ever after.
So we want to bring to our listeners about now there's two families, the Elliott Bernstein family that's going through this, and we have, you know, Pat Hanley and Suzanne McCormick that all going on in the areas that we're talking about in Florida. You know, and it's so disheartening what these families have gone through. I mean, and it doesn't stop there. We also have Skinder who's going to be coming on as well, and we've got two or three people. Our lines are, you know, our phone lines are starting to light up here of I know who people who want to get on the conversation. So let's go ahead and bring in another family. I'm going to keep you alive. I'm going to keep Elliot's line alive as well. So we're going to bring in Skinder. Hadi, are you with us?
Yes, I'm Skinder Hoti.
Hi, welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on. I mean, on the short notice, I mean, we just talked like last night, so thanks for coming on, and we want to hear about what's going on with your story. Just briefly, I know that you've been retaliated on for multiple complaints against the judge for helping your mother. So can you go into that, exactly what happened there for a few minutes? So we can lay out the whole picture of that. This is just not one or two or three families. There's a lot of families that are being retaliated on right now by our own court system.
If I may, I would like to say also, if you are, your mic is live, but you're not speaking, if you would mute your own phone during the time that you're not speaking so that there's not feedback, because once we get a lot of people that are live mics, sometimes one will feedback to the other, and we can start to get feedback. So if you're not in the process of speaking, go ahead and mute yourself on your phone.
And sometimes if I mute everybody, it's not that I want to knock you off the show. It's just that I have to make it really clear because all of these are recorded and archived our shows are, and we want to make them. Go ahead, Skinder, and let's talk about what happened to your family.
Okay. My name is Skinder Hoti. In 2012, from the clear sky on January 31st, I took my mother to the doctor as a regular to be checked out at 10 o'clock in the morning. And 11 o'clock after it was done, she drove her car, came to a restaurant, and she stayed at, like as usual, every day for lunch with me at the restaurant, which one is like 2.5 miles from the house. By 2 o'clock, she went home and usually come for dinner like 5 o'clock at the restaurant. And she didn't come. I called back, no answer. I called 7 o'clock, no answer. By 7:30, I received a phone call from the attorney, Sharon Hazelton. He said, don't call her because her brother came. He took her away to Alabama. I said, who are you? She said, I'm Sharon Hazelton from Delray. She gave me her phone number and the building where she lived, where she worked. And I said, you don't have a right to come to take away or to do anything because I do have a double power attorney and assistant living and also health care. And I said, I'll call a policeman in a minute because that's kidnapping. And the time I called 911, right away she called, mom, she called me with her brother. He said, you know, I said, mother, where are you? She said, I'm in the car for 2-3 hours. They're driving me. I don't know where they're taking me. I said, who's driving? She said, I don't know. I said, grab him and ask him, who are you? And turned to come in the back seat, her brother, Kenneth Davis. Which one? He said, you know, we are taking Gwen at home. We don't have nothing with you to do. I said, hold on. For 30 years, you never came to visit us in Florida from Alabama. We came twice a year up there, even driving and flying. You even didn't offer a drink to us. We have to pay you always. That was me, I said. I said, what are you doing? You're not a man. You cannot kidnap her. I said, what are you doing? You're kidnapping. And he hung up the phone on me. Anyway, I called a policeman from 7 o'clock, whatever it was, p.m., on same day, January 31st, 2012. And policemen did not come. I waited in the house, and I came to the house, and I see a lot of stuff missing. And my bedroom was all upside down, you know, looking papers and taking stuff away. And this, I found out, from like 11 p.m., you know, that one of the policemen came and he gave me advice what to do. He said, you get on the plane and go to Alabama. Go pick up your mother because you do have all the papers. And go to the bank and take the money, which one we have a joint account. I went over next morning and I see money was gone. And I find out Martin Poland, he put my mother like to be taken away temporarily from the house to go to Alabama. And what happened? His wife came to the house a week later, broke in the house with her brother, and Sharon Hazelton at my house at 3396 Dia Mancibo, where my mother lived and me. And to the point, that's conflict interest if you look into husband Martin Colin and his wife. She goes by maid name Elizabeth Savage, but she don't use Colin. And my neighbors, they called me up. They said, you know, what's going on? Because we have a truck moving all day, all this morning. They've been loading stuff like that. As you know, in 2012, my neighbors, they did not have my cell phone, but they did have my business telephone number, and they called me up, Kathy Graves, my third neighbor. And I rushed over, came to the house, and I called Sharon Hazelton, Betty Savage, Betty Savage's brother, and 4 or 5 workers loading all the trucks, all my stuff at the house. Which one? They took all the jewelry, all the valuable stuff, and Sharon and Betty Savage's car, plus Sharon Hazelton's car and the truck. And I yelled, screamed, and finally came the policeman, you know, what I called at the same time. And I said, you know, they have to be arrested because there's the break of entrance. The sledgehammer that broke the door, they got inside, and I called for backup for policemen because one of the cops would not listen to me, started talking to Betty Savage, and I said, this one, she has to be arrested. You know, what the hell is she doing? She got all my stuff in her car. And I tried to open the door to get in. Policeman pushed me. I said, that's my stuff. You cannot take it, hey. And he pushed me. And after that, they start talking with each other. And I heard very clear. She said, I'm a judge's wife, Martin Collins' wife. Boom. And policeman told me to stay away 40 feet, 50 feet, yelling, screaming at me. And I started recording. I started taking a picture of them. And kind of, they got mad. They said, you don't take picture here because you're going to be arrested. I said, hey, you still in my house and I don't have a right to speak? Something wrong here. Anyway, going in and out, it was very clear which one, retaliation with the, wow, with the sheriff's department, with the judges. In the meantime, before even the broken house, I did hire David Gard, an attorney, to protect me. And same time I called David Gard, an attorney, I said, hey, at my house, they're broken. These people are here. Oh, he said, sorry to hear that. I don't know what to do. It's Saturday, you know, and we're going to see Monday what he can do. I said, but you can call police and come over, things like that. They cannot steal my stuff. Oh, just sorry. I cannot help you. Nothing. And he hung up. Nevertheless, I tried going through the court. As you can see it, it's all together, husband, wife, attorney, working with each other. After that, what they do, they hired one of the person, like, you know, guardianship to be guardian was John Milton. Which one is just not a stupid idiot? Just everything is like against me speaking something to torch me or to call me names, you know, like I'm a Iranian, Iraqi, whatever, you know, all kind of racial. And the judge would listen. I said, yeah, they're going too far, buddy. And my attorney would not let me speak. He would pull me for the shirt or he would hit me with the elbow. Stop, don't talk, I talk. I said, hey, I want you to get out of my case, too. And to the end, I fired my attorney because he was against me. He wouldn't put nothing on the record of retaliation, what is going on. And I paid him $35,000, 2 months. Which one are you talking about? 18 motion totally put for me in 2.5 months, which one he worked. An 18 motion, only 2 of them are half a page. The others, they're all just 2-3 sentences and goodbye. Time I did fire him, he got mad, and he turned around and sued me. And his contract, he cannot sue me. We have to go to the mediation, whatever. And did not happen.
Gosh.
And this time, 2 months, which one I hired him, and he prepared me one of the paper where I can assign the house to him to protect me in case if I don't pay him or to protect me against of my mother's brother. You're talking about even an attorney trying to threaten and force me to sign my deed to him. He said I can elect to protect you. You talk about a nightmare what I went through. And after the time I fired, I hired Deborah Rocklin. Meantime, I asked for the who all I want to remove the guardian person, John Milton. They said no. I said yes. I don't need him. I said just give me the final. What he given to the judge, Mark. At the same time, I forgot to tell you, Martin Cohen happened to be in a case to represent mother's brother in the court, and also his wife in a ring with Sharon Hazelton together. That's conflict interest. And Martin Cohen, he gave it to them to come break my house. His wife. Later on, the staff, which one was stolen in my house, Martin Cohen's stepson, which one is Betty Savage's son, he put in Penny Saver classified ad to sell the stuff. And happened to be John Presenti, the newspaper guy who worked for Palm Beach Paper and classified section. He went over and looked the stuff, you know, what he was selling, and he saw it was my stuff. And John Presenti came and notified me. And then we have an article on the paper which one what they did it. Believe it or not, over $19,000 cash at my house, and they took over $30,000 jewelry, including mom's and pop's and ours, me and my wife, over $18,000. So about like $50,000-$60,000 valuable stuff, just gold, money, and jewelry, whatever. Talking about the expensive item which one they took of my parents, you know, which one they live here for 60 years. And nevertheless, I've been fighting with this attorney, David Garden, which one I fired him. And with 2.5 months working, I've been with him in the court for 10 years. And he just dragged me to the court, which one he took abuse of me. By the time he started suing me, I was 58 years old. Which one he don't have a right to sue me as an older abuse, one. Second, he used all the court system every day towards me to go to the court. Every third day I was in the court. And I had to fire Lucy Brown, judge, and I told him, you're taking a side, you're protecting him, you're not going by the law, you are with him. And David Garden, he pushed me in front of her. But almost I fell down, and I yelled. I said, what the hell are you pushing me? What's the matter with you? And Lucy Brown, as a judge, pretend like she don't see it, what is going on. I said, what the hell are you doing here? You allowed him even to hit me and push me? And he tells Bailey,
right,
let him go outside to talk. I said, what do you mean outside to talk? You are here, a judge, and you allowed to be pushed. And I asked for the video. They would not give me. I reported the sheriff downstairs. He said, we have to have some witness. Who was the witness? They don't allow you to have people. And with me, they don't let me have no family to come. I have to go by myself in the beginning, which one I did not know that, of this stuff happened. And
right,
that day,
exactly,
with the help of the robber Sahin, I made it her to be removed from the case. But I should put it for disqualification of the judge, Lucy Brown. I put a removal.
Right.
And she got out right away. And after that, he came another judge, which one he ended up the same way. And I asked for him to be removed because he's taking, protecting David Garden here because he's involved Martin Cole in my case and his wife at my house. Nevertheless, story to the life, I win the case with the Deborah Rocklin, and the mother came over here, and we went over to the judge March now, and March, she saw it very clear, was nothing wrong with my mother. She got returned to start living here, but she was isolated for 10 months, medicated, whatever. Soon as she arrived here in 3-4 weeks, started her medicine getting down. And she was in a basement living, which one she told me and told my wife and my kids and all the family, because she lived with us for 30 years after my father passed away. She lived longer. Nevertheless, I went to the court. I've been every time retaliating. They put like the lady she's saying in Palm Beach. They went against me to the home association. They evict my tenant. They evict. They collect the money to two or three or different tenants and just tried to hurt me. They put the lien, David Gardner, through my old properties. Even they put me through bankruptcy, where I'm fighting now. The time I fired him, what I paid him, as I stated, $35,000 with his checks, all them written. He put the lawsuit on me, $28,000, I owe him more. I said, produce the bills. You don't have it to produce no bills more than $6,000 what he worked for me for 2 months. Now, he got the judgment with the judges inside for $1,000. Where can I pay that? And I have to lose my job, lose my property. Two of them, they stole it through the bank, through the court retaliation, whatever you call it. Either way I go, my name, Hoti, just said, oh, you're going to be without judges. You fired four judges. I said, because you're not honest. You're not doing the job. Show me what I owe David Gardner. It's no bills. It's no statement. And here I am.
It just doesn't get any easier, does it? I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on. And like we've been talking about on this radio show, that's just not Elliot Bernstein's family. It's just not Suzanne McCormick and Pat Henley, but it's also Skinner Hottie that's going through the same thing. So you, everybody that's listening, it's just not one family, two families. We've got multiple families coming on. And I also have others bring on this radio show as well to point out that it's just not a couple. It's not a couple families.
No, it is a crime wave that is being conducted in our courts by an organized crime organization.
And the judges are okay in this.
The judges are part of the organized crime organization.
They're allowing it to happen.
They are capos. They are bosses. In the organized crime organizations that are allowing, that are permitting, that are authorizing the crimes to occur and providing protection for those who commit the crimes with their armed lieutenants who are in police uniforms.
Right.
I want people to get the picture.
Right.
This is the reality this country.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So, Skinner, we're going to go ahead and
pause
you for a little bit.
Yeah, one more important right here.
Okay.
This case, you know, I saw it in the lower court. I cannot get no justice. Even I went to FBI, and they said they're going to go against Martin Colon with our squad, but didn't happen. I went to Sheriff's Department, which on BBC, whatever. They changed my last name. Instead of putting H-O-T-I, they put H-O-I-I-T-I, which one who cannot find my case. Now, I'm in a federal case, you know, which one they're trying to dismiss me for four or five times. Well, I'm suing them to the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, in federal court, Supreme Court. That's my case is right now.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to have to let us know what happens with that.
But
you know, and
not,
you...
For 10 years, they've been retaliating. Even they're trying
right.
to put the all kind of stuff around my business and after me, you know, with my tenant and like the lady she mentioned to the bank, you know, like I owe the money. Where I owe? Show me the bills. Nothing. Even the bank, David Gardner went like around to, he got the garnishment in my account. But thank God I have somebody at the bank that notified me. Almost he robbed me another $40,000 in the account. But I was quick. I went to the bank. I removed it. And now those papers, you cannot find it where he has a garnishment in my account from the judge. Only two pages that show the other side, they don't. He only took $93 in the garnishment because they go behind the door. So, Lord,
yeah, exactly.
Retaliation, they're together. You talk about the judge,
yeah.
Attorneys, all together. Believe me.
Yeah. And it's sad that you have to go through this. All those years, like I was talking, I was in my probate court case for 10 years. You know, Elliot's been in there for 10-plus years. I mean, then you've got the McCormick family, you know, and Pat Henley that's been in there for years. And that, and you're talking about years. And this shouldn't be happening to families. I mean, it's such a corrupt system. 10.5 years. See, it's always 10 years. Here's 10 years. And it's, right, exactly. Well, Kinder, thanks for coming on to our show. We are going to go ahead and move on to some more families that are calling into the show.
Thank you so much for having
you,
me.
You, exactly. And please let us know what happens with your case as well.
Thank you for fighting the good fight for your mother. We're with you.
Exactly.
You.
Exactly. Gosh almighty. We've got, so the number you're going to call into, if anybody is listening and wants to come on as one of the families, or if you have a question or a comment, the phone number you call into is 845-241-9962, and you press A1. 845-241-9962, you press A1, and that will raise your hand, and we will call on you to come live on the air with Faces Radio. So we're going to bring in a 561 number. You are live on Faces Radio. Do you want to say your name or hello, welcome to the show? 561 area
hello.
Code. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're
welcome.
Live. Uh-huh. You're live.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, my name is Rick Keitel. I have experienced the same thing that a lot of you people have gone through with the court system. I actually had to tape record one of my former lawyers who threatened me. The judge in the case was Judge Eric Kimball. He took the tape recording.
Boy, I've heard that name before.
He took the tape recording.
Go ahead.
He took the tape recording in camera by himself and listened to it, and then came out and sealed the evidence to prevent the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, Palm Beach Police, and the Palm Beach State Attorney from listening to the recording. From the moment he made his decision, he didn't have any authority over criminal law, but he sealed the tape, and I have gone on the record and called him an absolute unequivocal liar maybe 30 times court filings. There was an investigation that was ongoing at the time, two of them, that was ordered by the chief judge of the bankruptcy court for the Southern District of Florida. That's Orlando down to Key West. There was also an investigation going on by the Palm Beach Police and the State Attorney's Office, Palm Beach State Attorney's Office. That was all stopped as a result of Judge Kimball's order. Now, when I met mm-hmm. with the FBI was interested in getting a copy of the tape. But Judge Kimball found me in contempt, filed a bar complaint against me. It turns out that the referee in the bar complaint had read the transcripts, said that she ruled that she thought that Judge Kimball should be investigated by the FBI. She went ahead and wrote to Judge Kimball asking Judge Kimball to release the audio recording. He refused. I filed a complaint. I filed an objection to Judge Kimball being reappointed in December and January of this year. It took him an extra few months before the court reappointed him to a 14-year term. But Judge Kimball, I mean, if you want to listen to the audio recording, is an absolute unequivocal liar and lies about everything. But by sealing the recording, no one else can listen to it. Now,
Oh my gosh.
Judge Kimball, when he stopped the investigation, Judge Kimball was one judge in the West Palm Beach office. The other judge was a chief judge of the United States Bankruptcy Court. There are only two people on the eighth floor, 1515 North Flagler Drive. Judge Kimball should have never been on the case. Case should have been transferred to Fort Lauderdale. But the chief mm-hmm. judge, Judge Paul Hyman, issued an order from the bench on July 13th, 2016, ordering an investigation into the U.S. trustee, whose name was Heidi Feinman, to the past president of the United States Trustees Association, whose name was Robert Furr, and the judge got off the case. Unfortunately, he handed it to his buddy 30 feet next door, who immediately started to impede and obstruct the two criminal investigations. It turns out I filed a complaint in New York City in the United States District Court, Southern District of Florida, on a RICO case against certain of these people, including Schutz and Bowen, with allegations of fraud, conspiracy to defraud. But if you look at the judges, which I've heard some of these names, I mean, Lucy Brown, I think she's a disgrace. But yet, when she retired, she gets all these referrals from all the law firms that she supported. Manu Sasser, who's now dead, died at 49 years old, was a crooked judge. We've got the information. She got Jamie Goodman and Richard Ofdell, who are two judges now. One's retired, Richard Ofdell, but Jamie Goodman's still on the bench, to do the absolute unbelievable orders directly against the evidence. But this is how the system works. Now, to give you a little background, in 1995 and 6 and 7, I represented 5,000 elderly people around the country who were cheated by the major brokerage firms. I started before law school at Smith Barney. Now, I was able to settle 5,000 cases on behalf of my clients. The main reason is we tape-recorded brokers giving legal advice to their clients. It's the only reason they settled. Unless you have substantial, credible evidence and you can prove it, you've got a little chance of succeeding in a lot of these cases, because the cases are decided on facts, and you can't overturn a decision in an appellate court on facts unless there is abuse of discretion. So you have to prove that the judge's decision-making was so faulty in the facts that the appellate court should overturn it, which is very difficult to do unless you can overturn it in an appellate court on the law. And I'll give you an example. Lucy Brown, in a case against me when I was suing Cersei Denny, ruled against me to try to take me off the case. And she ruled exactly against the law of the 4th DCA, forcing me to appeal. I appealed, and she was overturned. But again, they punish you. They retaliate against you. They cause you to run up legal fees in the millions of dollars. And it's an incredible thing. And I have been in multiple courts, federal, state, against law firm, all these other things. Judges always rule for lawyers. It's just the way they are. That's not going to change. There are judges that just ignore either the law or they ignore the facts and rule in favor of the lawyers. And let's face it, the lawyers control everything that goes on in the system. And I can
tell you
lawyers, some of the best lawyers have got caught doing criminal acts, but they get away from it from the bar. And the bar looks the other way. Now, the bar offered me a 91-day suspension if I agreed to stop publicly disparaging Judge Sasser and Judge Kimball. My response was, I don't give a shit about my law license. I care about the $30 million I've lost. That's what I'm interested in. And then they went after me with everything they could. And you have a judge that listened to the case, but he's a typical judge. He's not going to go against the system. They don't have the courage. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to hire a lawyer that's going to file a complaint in court against judges. They water everything down because they're afraid they have to appear or their firm has to appear before the judge. And frequently, if you look at who contributes to all these judges, it's all the big law firms that appear in front of them. And that's how the system is. The system's not going to change.
Right.
And the idea these lawyers charge $700 to $800 an hour now is ridiculous.
Right.
But this is the way the system works.
I hear everything you're saying, and I'm completely blown away, but I understand you are so correct with everything you're saying.
I filed a complaint with the U.S. Attorney's Office. They didn't do anything. I filed a complaint with the U.S. Attorney's Office, gave them all the evidence. They did nothing. We found out that the U.S. Trustee's Office was front-running cases and filing motions on behalf of law firms in the cases. I have email from Schutz and Bowen to United States Trustee Heidi Feinman saying almost, quote, could you do us a favor? Could you file a motion? Because if it comes from you and then we join with you, the judge is going to take it more serious. Now, what more corruption could you want? Then what happened is 4 months later, well, Heidi Feinman was under investigation for corruption case fixing. Schutz and Bowen lawyers got some transcripts from another lawyer, Robert Furr, who was under investigation. They were not allowed to talk to each other, so Schutz and Bowen gave the deposition of Robert Furr to Heidi Feinman before she was investigated, before she was interviewed, so she could tailor her interview exactly to what Robert Furr said. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to investigate. It's just the way the system is. And everything I'm telling you, I have every piece of evidence for it. I have to go back again to the U.S. Attorney's Office and file another complaint for this information that's come available just recently. But I finally got to take Heidi Feinman's deposition after the Florida bar fought me for 3 years to prevent me from taking it because she's a United States trustee. And they're telling me I couldn't get her deposition. Well, when I finally get her deposition, she only answers about 30% of the questions because she can't answer any questions regarding the prior investigation. Well, the investigation was into judges, Heidi Feinman, the U.S. Trustee's Office, and Robert Furr. So she refuses to answer any questions. She's represented by the Department of Justice out of Washington, D.C. But what she does tell us is, number one, that yes, she was requested to front-run cases for Schutz and Bowen, okay, criminal act. Then she tells us that Schutz and Bowen lawyer Larry Glick sent her the transcript of Robert Furr. Now, there's a criminal investigation going on, two of them. You've got lawyers against me, Schutz and Bowen, sending critical information to Heidi Feinman, who's under investigation, so she can prepare for her interview. So she can give you exact same terminology that Robert Furr gave. But again, nobody cares. So when you see these things like Marty Cohen, I mean, I gave him a $25,000 retainer about 15 years ago. 2 weeks later, he says, oh, I can't represent you anymore. I'm moving to South Carolina. My wife's got cancer. There goes my $25,000 retainer. So I've dealt with all these lawyers, all these big firms. I don't practice law. I didn't practice for 40 years, except I took on all these cases for elderly people in federal court in arbitration because they lost money. I collected 100 cents on the dollar for them. Mike Wallace did a story on my clients in May of 2000, I think it was 1996, and I referred John Eichenwald, who wrote the book Serpent on the Rock, about how Prudential stole all this money from all these elderly people. It was during the late 80s, and they were all on the IRA alternative investments where they guaranteed 12%. Every investment firm did it. 2 years later, they stopped paying aircraft leasing, oil and gas, real estate ventures. And they waited about, I don't know, 8 years, 10 years. Finally, they paid back maybe $1 billion. But their fees were $6 or $7 billion when they did it. It happens every 7 to 8 years on Wall Street. It's the way it is.
My gosh.
It's covered up by lawyers.
Let me ask you a question. So what do you think, what can people do to protect themselves, or is there no way to protect themselves anyway against
you,
the system?
You need a public forum to show judges like Eric Kimball, Manu Sasser, Jamie Goodman, Richard Ofdell, to show how dishonest and unethical they are. And again, I can say this now because as a lawyer, I couldn't say it. Lawyers
right.
lose their First Amendment rights to disparage a judge. You can't disparage
right.
a judge in court papers, anything. Everything you said can be a bar complaint. They want to disbar you today for these. Even if,
exactly.
even though it's true, even it's true. So lawyers are not going to say anything negative about the judges. I can tell you that Jamie Goodman's opinion was not only totally wrong, but the other judges who read it said it was completely wrong. But he did it as a favor to his friend Manu Sasser after 2 months on the bench, who was his mentor, because she sat in his chambers and I had blocked her. I went against her to be nominated to the United States District Court in Miami. I then went against her to be appointed to the 4th DCA, and I wrote a letter to the governor's office. But in June of 2015, I asked for a criminal investigation of Manu Sasser, okay? And I filed it with the chief judge in the 15th Circuit, and I filed it with the the Palm Beach Attorney's Office. Nothing happened. 30 days later, the 4th DCA came out with a scathing opinion against Judge Sasser. It turns out that Judge Sasser, and it's called the tobacco case. It's Pereiro, Perrotto. They criticized her in every major newspaper in South Florida because she ruled against Scott Schlesinger, who also filed a complaint against her to prevent her from being nominated to the United States District Court. And we're talking about,
right.
this is in September of 2014. She was
mm-hmm.
so upset that she said to Scott Snyder's client in court, "I'll never get over how upset I am about how he wrote there and prevented me from being a federal judge." Well, but yet she wouldn't get off the case. 3 weeks later, all the South Florida papers did another article on her. She, unfortunately, her and her husband, who's a big divorce lawyer, Thomas Sasser, I sued both of them. They went ahead, and unfortunately, they lost a child at a hospital in Palm Beach County. It was Saint, I can't think of the one, it's in Palm Beach Gardens, off the top of my head. But they lost a child. They sued the hospital, St. Mary's Hospital,
right.
St. Mary's Medical Center. And finally, after a year or two, they got a big settlement. Now, 7 years later, 6 years later, Judge Sasser is now on a case where St. Mary's is being sued. Okay? It was a national case because St. Mary's had a higher proportion of infant deaths because they took on more heart issues for infants who were seriously injured. So Judge Sasser refused to get off the case. They made numerous motions saying, "You sued St. Mary's for the death of your infant child. How can you possibly sit on a case and be objective when St. Mary's is being sued, especially by your friend's Searcy Denny Law Firm?" She refused to get off. You know what happened? After my letter, after the 4th DCA, and after newspapers wrote a scathing article about her, she finally got off the case. And then a month later, she got off my case, but she didn't recuse herself because she was too embarrassed to admit her prejudice. Instead, she transferred the case under a Palm Beach local administrative ruling saying that she had to transfer the case because I had two cases, and she moved it to another judge. This is what happened.
Right.
I mean, they can't admit the truth.
Yeah, so tell me something. I know that we've got like three or four families that all came on, and every time they speak about a judge, you know, like Elliot Bernstein came on and he spoke about a judge to him saying, you know, you should report what's going on. And the judge just turned around and retaliated against the whole family. Did you see that happen a lot? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking
during the criminal investigations, mm-hmm. I did a disclosure statement, and I wrote about two paragraphs and included my letter to the U.S. to Palm Beach Police and Palm Beach State Attorney's Office about exactly what was said by the lawyer threatening me. Judge Kimball, who was trying to obstruct the investigation for 3 months, then seized all my assets, appointed a trustee, and ruled against me on every issue for 3 years. As I repeatedly filed motions against him, asked for a criminal investigation, he wouldn't get off the case. The problem is, when you think a judge is prejudicial, you have to file a motion to that judge and ask that judge to get off the case. And the judges don't get off the case on most occasions. They're supposed to get off the case the first time you accuse them of not being fair, but they don't. They always find something wrong with your petition. They don't get off the case. So then you have to do a writ of prohibition to the district, the appellate court. But frequently the appellate courts don't take the judge off. So these are the problems that happen all the time. So you're asking a judge who's prejudicial to get off the case because he's prejudicial. And you know what he says?
Right.
No, I'm not getting off. And then he retaliates, or she retaliates.
Exactly.
And then
I remember
the same thing.
Right.
It's
and I was listening to the Elliot Bernstein case, and that judge literally told Elliot, hey, I can do what I want. I mean, I was just sitting there going, wow. I mean, you know,
Elliot
some
contacted
of the stuff,
me this week. Elliot contacted me this week. I haven't gotten back to him, but I know he's having a problem with Judge Kimball. Judge Kimball is a very, very bright guy, but he's dishonest and unethical. And when I tell you he absolutely unequivocally lied, you can have the audio tape.
Hold on a second.
The audio tape
Elliot, I'm going to bring you back on. I'm going to bring you back on for a second because I think this judge keeps coming up, you know, and I listen to this judge, and I don't even know what to even think myself because it's like, you know, I just don't – I remember the case before you. There was a lady that came on that had a stroke, and he was kind of nice to this woman. I mean, he's like telling her what she had to do and all that. And then when your case came on, Elliot, he was so against your family, and I was like, whoa, he's just like, that's not fair. He's not being a fair judge. He really isn't.
Well, that was
because you have
I think what happened,
because another lady, you know.
Did I just say one thing?
Yep.
Hold on a second.
Elliot needs to turn down the rhetoric a little bit and use the proper words all the time. Otherwise, no one takes you seriously. There has to be a list of these 15 words you need to use against a judge so people will listen to you. But once you start going on with the rape and this and everything, and I've tried that, it doesn't work. You need to stick to a script where every person that files a complaint can use the same basic script because otherwise...
I need a fucking lawyer.
You're right.
That's what I need, a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
I'm a dumb inventor who changed the world. That's all the hell I am. A guy who loves people, loves plants. Doesn't vegetarian. I'm all those things, but I'm not a lawyer. I wouldn't perform my own goddamn brain surgery, so I don't know how there's pro se lawyers. I don't even know what that means. They don't even listen. And you know
the
what?
Lawyer,
I'm not
the lawyers
to
aren't
stand
gonna,
up to Judge
the lawyers
Kimball
aren't gonna take your case.
And tell him, listen, I'm not afraid to stand up to Judge Kimball and tell him you're a public servant. You're not my master. I don't lick your dick like all these attorneys do and all these people who are beholden to you and your honor, oh sir, I'm telling you, you're a fucking crook. You're hurting my children.
Elliot.
You just threatened my children with criminal charges after a Florida licensed lawyer told you about fraud in your court, a dead man having hearings that you're listening to.
Elliot, what
right
you need
now.
To do... Elliot,
come on, Elliot. Hold
you
on,
need
Elliot.
To file,
come on, Elliot.
You need to file a complaint against Judge Kimball in the 11th Circuit under disability. There's a code, a section, and make the complaint. But you have to back it up with facts and everything else. And it's unlikely the 11th Circuit is going to do anything. But that's who you have to file the complaint with. It has to be
so
the 11th Circuit. If you want to file a complaint in Florida, I'm sorry, if you want to file a complaint in Florida against a judge, it's to the JQC, the Judicial Qualifications Committee. You can ask.
I wanted to ask you, you were talking about that you told Elliot that he should use certain words when he goes into the court. What would you use if you go into a court, like changing the language or whatever, to get more of attention? What would you use? I mean,
I
know when you're talking to a judge, you gotta talk highly up there. You know what I mean?
You can't use these really inflammatory rhetoric because they just shut you down right away.
Right.
I had Judge Sasser in one hearing get up in the middle of the hearing and slam her book and walk off the thing. And all we did was brought up what we put in the motion to recuse her. And she walked out right there. Judge Kimball, you have to file a complaint with the 11th Circuit. It's got to be well-written. It's got to be documented. And that's what you have to do. And if more and more people would do it the right way, the court would then take some action.
Right. So,
but
do you think?
But he's just been reappointed for 14 years.
Right. You know, I've been just listening to you, and I'm just flabbergasted on how correct on a lot of these issues are. And I definitely want to invite you back in as a guest, if you wouldn't mind, to go through this more thoroughly at another later date, because I think what you're saying is exactly what people need to be doing to file against these judges. I really do.
I think that you see, if you go on radio and you call them names and all that stuff, it doesn't really
help. No,
it
doesn't.
Good,
and that's the reason why we don't like to do that too much on our radio show, because, you know, I have respect for a lot of these judges who do the right thing. And I have a dim eye at some of these judges that don't, you know. So I don't really sit there and say, I hate this judge, I hate that judge. I just let everybody come onto our radio show and talk about this to as much respect as they can give to everybody as they can. But I agree with you have to go
one of the problems is these judges have lunch together. They have lunch together,
right.
The judges. They discuss cases. If they don't like you, mm-hmm. they circulate your name between the 15 judges in Palm Beach County Circuit Court, and when you appear before mm-hmm. them, they don't take you serious. They don't
right.
look at you as credible. They go after you, and it's incredible. And they always do it on the facts. They just say, well,
right.
he wasn't credible, or I couldn't find the facts, or whatever. That's how they do it all the time. And they favor certain law firms, because the big law firms are the ones that give them a lot of cash.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and I agree with you that you have to go on there and just not call them rapists or muggers or any of that stuff, you know. You have to go in there and treat them like everybody else, but get to the facts, you know, put out the case law that you need to let people start looking in. But I agree with exactly what you're saying, right, Robin, do you think?
I mean, you can say on, like, radio, dishonest, they're
mm-hmm.
unethical, they ruled against these
right.
issues for the wrong reasons mm-hmm. and everything else. But when you start throwing in the rapist and this, and they should be hung, it turns people off. They just don't want to listen to saying
right.
that. Not yeah. that it shouldn't happen to them, but I'm just saying it turns off too many people.
Yeah, exactly. So, gosh, well, I just can't even tell you enough, you know, how much I appreciated you calling in and then talking about this very important topic, you know, because a lot of people don't understand that we've got some judges out there that are not doing the work for the people. You know, we've had four families come on already saying that this is happening, everybody. You find yourself in court, you could be there for 10 years, draining everything you have.
The problems with the trust and estate lawyers, it's very difficult to get them off the case. It's no different
exactly.
than getting a United States appointed trustee off a case. The problem is there's a business judgment rule. And no matter what the trustee does, he claims that he's protected under the business judgment rule. Okay? Even
mm-hmm.
if he made the worst mistake in the world, unless you can prove it's fraud, you can't get rid of him. So I turned around and sued the trustee, okay, and his law firm. And the trustee's name was Richard Blackstone Weber. I accused him of fraud, criminal conspiracy, the whole nine. You know what happened? In order to sue a trustee in bankruptcy, you got to get the judge's permission. Judge Kimball refused to allow it. So when the bankruptcy was over with, I sued him in court. Okay? Now, this is what happened after that. The U.S. Trustee's Office, his law firm, and Schutz and Bowen got together, and they went back to open up my bankruptcy case so they could hold me in contempt for suing the trustee. So I
had to
appear in court in January 26, 2022, in front of Judge Kimball, after I had filed the complaint against him in the 11th Circuit, and they were holding up his appointment. So I filed a motion to recuse him. He wouldn't hear it. So I pled in the case saying he had no jurisdiction in the case. He refused to listen. He ruled against me orally. 3 days later, he was forced to reverse himself because the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals out of Atlanta had ruled once the case is over, bankruptcy case, the bankruptcy judge has no jurisdiction anymore. He couldn't go after me for contempt, and he couldn't go after me for everything else. Even though the U.S. trustee asked him to do it, the lawyers asked him to do it, the same lawyers I'm suing in federal court for RICO, racketeering. But the problem is a federal judge going to allow a racketeering lawsuit to go ahead, or alleged racketeering against all these lawyers, against law firms? And the answer is probably not. He'll find a reason to throw it out of court. And when I filed it in New York, okay, because there were so many incidents of fraud happening in New York, first thing they did is all the lawyers were in the court and they said, I'm a bad person. Look, this is what I said about judges. This is why the Florida bar went after me. So nothing's about the facts. It's about tarring me so the judge in New York won't like me. He won't take me as credible, even though I have the affidavits, I have the evidence, I have everything there. And that's how it works. That's the first thing when I go into court. Every lawyer says the same thing to the judge. Mr. Keitel said this about Judge Sass. He said this about Judge Kimball. Well, the judge is sitting here. He's never going to rule in my favor. It's not going to. I need a jury. You have to get to a jury trial, because if you have a bench trial, you're never going to win. You're never going to win with a judge.
Wow. God, that's just injustice. I'm so glad you came on, you know, to talk about this. We do have another caller coming in, and I know it's Ray Contreras. So if you want to hold on with this for a little bit, let's go ahead and talk to Ray. But we appreciate you coming on. Oh, my gosh. I've learned so much. I mean, haven't we, guys? God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I just want to get Ray in here because we've got about 6 minutes left to the show. Ray, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
We're just talking to another guy named Rick. I don't know if you're listening, but there's a lot of really good information. We have Elliot still joining us. I've got everybody on mute right now because we've got a lot of people on here, and we have to not let the there's a lot of background noise.
It can cause feedback if there's too many.
But we welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. Everybody's Ray Contreras. So you also have the same issues that are going on in the same area, right?
Yeah, definitely Palm Beach, you know, with Elliot. And I mean, I don't know what else can be said. I mean, I think everybody's covered everything about the judges and how they're very well protected by the Florida bar. And, you know, this is something where we do need the federal courts to look at, because this is like the new gold rush in America. You know, they've come up with this industry, and it doesn't matter how many wards they can take. There's no limit how many they can get. And there's people that don't have much of any credentials becoming these professional guardians working with the attorneys, that it is racketeering. You know, it's organized crime.
Exactly. Wow, that is everybody that's been on the radio show is so correct. And it's and like I still have Rick on there, his mic is live along with Hillary as well. I just want everybody to know that this is the fifth family we've had on here tonight, at least, that all say the same thing. So obviously there is a huge problem going in Palm Beach, Florida. And I was contacted by someone also, I think, on Facebook that also was having an issue, and I'll be forwarding that information over to Elliot and the rest of you, and maybe you can all get together. But so basically the same thing happened to you with your mom. Can you just say in a minute or so what happened to your family so we can so that our listeners will understand?
Elliot did hit on the point. My mother was literally in a mediation over $100 million, and one of the lawyers was walking around the room with an assault rifle, intimidating my mother and her lawyers. And this is supported by affidavits that were signed, not by my mother, but by her lawyers, to the judge and to the Florida bar, saying that they asked opposing lawyer to remove the firearm repeatedly, and he refused. And in Florida, that's called brandishing a firearm, and it's a crime. And, you know, if you and I were to do this on a, you know, say in a road rage incident, we'd go to jail, you know, if we flashed someone a gun in a bit of rage.
Who is the judge?
This is Judge Stargell. And when I complained to the governor, he promoted him to the Second District Appeals Court. And now his wife, which is a senator, is asking taxpayers to build him a $50 million courthouse in Polk County. And when that started getting bad attention on the news, because it was pretty obvious she was doing it for her husband, they reworded it and said, well, instead of building him another courthouse, we're going to create a six or seven. They're basically adding a new district court of appeals, because there were already initial plans to rebuild the second district court of appeals in Pinellas County. They already had a $20 million that they had allocated for that. But once this judge got this promotion, she wanted to move the courthouse back to Polk County so her husband wouldn't have to drive so far. You know,
what year did that happen?
That just happened within this year.
Well, if he was... That what you should do is you should sign both a bar complaint against him, file a bar complaint, and you should file a complaint with the JQC against
you're
him.
Right. The attorney
and if your lawyers observe that, you should get an affidavit from your lawyers attesting to the fact that he was walking around with a gun to intimidate your mother.
Affidavits. No, exactly. I have two affidavits, and this was the Ackerman Law Firm. It's one of the largest law firms in America. They came from Jacksonville and Miami office to Polk County, and they're very, very good lawyers. But, you know, what are you supposed to do when you're in a room with a guy with a gun? And that's what happened to my poor elderly mother. I have spoken with many people in Florida. People know I'm a pretty outspoken advocate here, and the attorney general does recommend for me to file a judicial complaint against the judge. But this is just, like I was saying before, this is a public corruption. I mean, this is the new gold rush, and everything from the Catholic Church to the nursing homes to the hospitals to the insurance companies to you name it. They're here for the take because this is America's greatest generation. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, these are generations that fought wars for this country and fought for our freedoms, and they're the kind of people that saved their money and paid off their houses and have big 401ks, you know, nest eggs. And now they're coming into this industry that's completely unregulated, and these lawyers are just ransacking through all their money, paying themselves $500 to $900 an hour with the guardians and all the assistants. And there's no thought on, well, they're taking all this money, but they're not leaving any money for that person to continue their living. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, everybody, we've got a notice from Block Talk that our radio show is up in about 1 minute.
Good radio show.
It was excellent, everybody. Hillary, what do you have to say? I mean, you've been sitting back to listening like we have.
It was just a phenomenal show. And yes, you know, we are against a underground operation, and the average person does not know the extent of the crimes that are being committed in probate courts throughout this country. But we can't give in. We can't stop fighting the fight, because if we don't, it will happen to us. And we are building an army day after day. And what a phenomenal show. And yes. I thank our callers and our guests, and justice does require transparency, and we will make sure that that is the case, or we will try. We will try, and we will die trying to get just
Amen.
That.
Exactly. I want everybody to know that next week we are going to be having, and I think everybody's week we're going to be having Janet Phelan in. She's coming on with Dr. Richard Fine and Bob Gettinger. So that's going to be an awesome show as well. And it's going to be a lot of information. I think everybody should listen to that. But we want to thank all of our listeners. And
Bring
your pencil. And we're going to be doing an in-depth show next week. All of our guests on here, Elliot, I mean, God, thank you for coming on. I just love. That's all I can say to you and your wife and your kids. We're going to be talking with you and helping you get through all that. Slender, thank you. I don't know why I keep calling you Slender, but Slender, thank you. We love you so much for coming on. Pat and Suzanne, thank you for coming on as well. You're always
thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And Ray and Rick, thank you, all of you, for joining us.
We absolutely appreciate every single one of you. We are with those of you that are in this fight. We stand next to all of you who are advocates, and we appreciate you all. God bless us, everyone.
Right. We'll be seeing you all, Nick. Thank you. Thank you, Hillary, for coming on. Thank you, everybody. And we are going to we're going to play the song called My Last Regret by Sharmaan Sowers. Anyway, good night, everybody, and I have everybody's phone numbers. I'll be talking to you all soon. Love you all.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I've been lying here thinking about the day we met, the day forever was set, and how much time we've got left. I find myself crying, my eyes out. I gotta make you believe in me without I'm gonna make cause regret from my past are too hard to forget. It doesn't matter who's right.